This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. My topic today is true riches. By that I mean making the aim and goal of your life to be rich in eternal matters, telling more and more people how they can escape certain torment in hell. This happens when people put their complete and total trust in the atonement for sin provided by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and his miraculous resurrection from the tomb. As people repent of their wrong, immoral, sinful ways of living and confess their sin to Jesus, then God saves them and gives them true riches, which is eternal life. And that eternal life starts right here on earth if and when you become born again. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in the name of Jesus, amen. Our website address is visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website at visionforchristworld.com/contact. As is my custom on this program, I let the Bible speak for me and make my points. Let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Be careful not to say, "My own ability and skill have gotten me this wealth." You must remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives ability to get wealth. And then in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be happy with what you have. God has said, "I will never leave you or let you be alone." The Apostle Paul writes words of wisdom to his son in the faith, Timothy. We read the following in 1 Timothy 6, 9-12. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierce themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. In Matthew 6, 24-27, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. Look at the birds. They do not plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. I said to myself, "I should have fun. I should enjoy everything as much as I can." But I learned that this is also useless. It is foolish to laugh all the time. Having fun does not do any good. So I decided to fill my body with wine while I filled my mind with wisdom. I tried this foolishness because I wanted to find a way to be happy. I wanted to see what was good for people to do during their few days of life on this earth. Then I began doing great things. I built houses, and I planted vineyards for myself. I planted gardens, and I made parks. I planted all kinds of fruit trees. I made pools of water for myself, and I used them to water my growing trees. I bought men and women slaves, and there were slaves born in my house. I owned many great things. I had herds of cattle and flocks of sheep. I owned more things than any other person in Jerusalem did. I also gathered silver and gold for myself. I took treasures from kings and their nations. I had men and women singing for me. I had everything a man could want. I became very rich and famous. I was greater than anyone who lived in Jerusalem before me. My wisdom was always there to help me. Anything my eyes saw and wanted, I got for myself. My mind was pleased with everything I did, and this happiness was the reward for all my hard work. But then I looked at everything I had done and the wealth I had gained. I decided it was all a waste of time. It was like trying to catch the wind. There is nothing to gain from anything we do in this life. Then later on in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we read this. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth, except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy is a letter from the Apostle Paul to his young student in the faith, Timothy, to encourage him in his new role as a church leader. Chapter 6 begins with a description of true godliness. He warns Timothy about those who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. He describes corrupt teachers who will divert believers from true faith in Christ by arguing over words, creating trivial controversies, and pursuing get-rich schemes. The false teaching that entered the church during these early days of the church is still found widely in modern Christianity. We commonly hear of preachers and Christian leaders using their positions of influence to store up unimaginable sums of wealth so that they can live super-rich lifestyles. Then they teach that their success is the norm and a worthy goal that every believer in Christ should seek. They take the promises of God for blessing and create a religion out of them. This is a wrong use of the Bible for evil purposes. Christ followers should focus their effort on pursuing holiness in conduct, attitude, and thought. They should choose to be content in whatever circumstances God has given them, just as Paul himself had done while in prison. See Philippians chapter 4. We are told to flee from all this, from the eagerness to get rich, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That's 1 Timothy 6:11. Contrary to what many popular health and wealth proponents would have us believe, the Bible warns us against pursuing riches. It is impossible to be content when our hearts are set on gaining more. We will not remain godly for long if we are not content with what God has given us. A desire for godliness is quickly eroded by a greedy spirit that craves more and more for its own selfish desires. The Bible never says that it is a sin to be rich. There are examples in Scripture of God blessing His servants with tremendous material wealth. Both greed and contentment are states of the heart. When we choose to be content with the riches of Christ, see Colossians 1 and Ephesians 3, rather than pursue material riches, our lives will be more in line with the will of God for us, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The words of Jesus in Matthew 6. Then in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 13, the one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and the one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with the property of someone else, who will give you your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and serve money. Hebrews 13:1-5, brotherly love must continue. Do not neglect hospitality, because through it some have entertained angels without even knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, and those ill-treated as though you too felt their torment. Marriage must be honored among all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, for God will judge sexually immoral people and adulterers. Your conduct must be free from the love of money, and you must be content with what you have. In Matthew 6:19-21, again, Jesus commands, "Do not save treasures for yourselves here on earth. Moths and rust will destroy them, and thieves can break into your house and steal them. Instead, save your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, and where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where your treasure is." What Jesus means by putting treasure in heaven involves explaining the gospel message of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and how by believing in this power of Jesus to take away sins, making people acceptable to God for eternity in heaven. As we tell the story of what Jesus has provided for anyone who will believe, and we see people embracing faith in Jesus Christ, we are then sending spiritual riches up to heaven, because these believing people now possess by faith eternal life, which is the greatest wealth anyone will ever receive. To sum it up, Ephesians 2:8-9 explains, "God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it." Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, truly turning away from sin, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life starting today by having personal saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our website address is visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website at visionforchristworld.com/contact. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from Luke 12:15-21 about true riches. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Watch out and guard yourself from all types of greed, because your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.' He then told them a parable. 'The land of a certain rich man produced an abundant crop. So he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to myself, "You have plenty of goods stored up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, celebrate." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life, your soul, will be demanded back from you. But who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" So it is with the one who stores up riches for himself, but is not rich toward God.